ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय क्रांतराज श्रीमद्भागवतम् की जय. So we read today from Srimad-Bhagavatam, 4th canto, 25th chapter, text 14. Prakaro Pavanatala Parikair Akshatoranai Svanaraupyaya Sai Shringai Sankulam Sarvato Grihai. Translation purport by His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. So that city, I was surrounded by walls and parks, and within it were towers, canals, windows, and outlets. The houses there were decorated with domes made of gold, silver, and iron. Purport. The body is protected by walls of skin. The hairs of the body are compared to parks, and the highest parts of the body, like the nose and head, are compared to towers. The wrinkles and depressions on different parts of the body are compared to trenches of canals. The eyes are compared to windows, and the eyelids are compared to protective gates. The three types of metal, gold, silver, and iron, represent the three modes of material nature. Gold represents goodness, silver passion, and iron ignorance. The body is also sometimes considered to be a bag containing three elements, three dhatu, mucus, bile, and air, kapha, pitta, vayu. As stated in Srimad Bhagavatam 10.84.13, yasatma buddhi kunape tridhatu ke. According to Bhagavatam, one who considers this bag of mucus, bile, and air to be the self is considered no better than a cow or an ass. Prakaro Pavanatala Parikair Akshatoranai Svarna Raupayasai Shringai Sankulam Sarvatogrihai. That city was surrounded by walls, parks, and within it were towers, canals, windows, and outlets. The houses there were decorated with domes made of gold, silver, and iron. So that's the story narrated by Srila Narada Muni to King Prachinibarhi, descendant of Dhruva, Maharaj Dhruva. Although he was very fruitive king, that means attached to opulence and powers, success in life, Narada Muni felt compassion for him because he considered him a descendant of Dhruva. So he has the blood of Dhruva, Maharaj's line, in himself, so he is worthy to receive instruction. Not everyone is worthy to receive instruction from a saintly person or devotee, like Narada Muni, especially from top platform, come to somebody who is very attached, can imagine. That's great mercy. As we heard previous days, the nature of Vaishnava is that he is very merciful. He's a paradukaduki kripa maya. He's very, very merciful. He suffers even because of suffering condition of a materialist. Even though, because they're mad for sense gratification, nunam pramata, kurutevi karma, they're mad for sense gratification. They're therefore intoxicated in the due to sense gratification, they don't even realize that they suffer. They don't realize. Like a drunkard. Prabhupada many times used the example of drunkard. He's completely intoxicated. His mind is away of reality. He's not anymore on the platform of body. So sometimes he falls on the nose, he drops, gets so many blue spots, but he doesn't feel suffering because he's so much, his body is so much, becomes senseless due to the alcohol. So he doesn't feel, only the next morning he gets the pain everywhere and he wonders, oh, from where I get all this pain from. So actually material world or material life is like madness. Pramata. Prabhupada translates this pramata, this word. Mata means mad, and pra, the suffix pra, means sufficiently mad, more than enough. Right? More than enough mad. So that is the condition of the materialist. So, and especially if you take birth in a nice family, Aishwarya, Shruta, Shribir, like that, especially how to speak of a king, he has all the facility for sense gratification. But he doesn't know and how to use it to do something useful for himself and for the people. So he is spending all the money and all his assets for sense gratification. And these actually activities or forced to engage in sense gratification, as the Lord Rishabhadeva is saying, is forcing the conditioned soul who already had previous life and take another life now in the human form of life again to take a new body in a previous life. Actually, this life, we only prepare for the next life. And according to our consciousness what we have, we go next life. Yam yam vapismaram bhavam yachatyante kalevaram. Tam tam evaiti kantya sadata bhava bhavitaha. You go where the consciousness is. Therefore the stage of the consciousness is essential. It's very essential. That's actually what we are. What we feel inside in our consciousness, in the heart. Externally we can present so many things, you know. But that is maybe just show. But it's not genuine. The genuine thing is in the heart, that's what we feel in the day and in the night, in the dream, in the eating, in action, in the public, and especially when you are alone. There you can see where you are, where you stay in your consciousness. So the consciousness is that what brings you to the next body. And that consciousness is that what makes us actually really happy. It's not the body what makes us happy. Because the body, we all know, we have a sufficient experience. Deha patra kalatra adishu. Atma sainishu. Asatsu api. Tesham pramata nidhanam pasyana pina pasyati. In the Bhagavatam, Shukadev Goswami, in his first shiksha, instruction he gave to Maharaj Parikshit, after he asked the question, what a person who has to die has to think about, what he should feel, how he should act. Good question. He didn't ask for the doctor, he didn't ask for an extra sense, or somebody who can counteract curses. Against a curse, Parikshit Maharaj was cursed. He didn't care. He immediately left the home and prepared to face the reality, the death, at the time of death, whenever it will be. He knew he was fortunate. 7 days. So he used these 7 days by associating with Sadhu, Sadhu Sangha. Shukadev Goswami. And in the first instruction, Shukadev Goswami told, you know, king, you're a king, but you should use, you're actually very fortunate, you should use your time, not like the materialist, to ask questions, You know, how to eat, how to sleep, how to become more successful in life. Shrota vyatrini rachendra. Narinang santi sahasrasa. Apashyanti atma tatvam griheshu grihamedinam. Don't be grihamedi. You should act. You should ask questions, you know, or hear topics who elevate yourself, you know, to Krishna consciousness, who will make an end to the suffering. Actually, the Shrota and Adi, beginning with hearing, speaking. If you hear nonsense, you speak nonsense. Actually, and then we start to think nonsense and act nonsensically. Very famous, Prabhupada told many times. Everything starts with hearing. We hear, then we start to speak, we start to think about it, and act about it. And that means cycle of birth and death. Repeated suffering. So, but Shukadev Goswami, very compassionately, he told Maharaj Parikshit, don't waste your time in gossiping and speaking about Gramyakata, about small talks, about what is going on in the world, how I feel and how you feel today, and how we can improve our material life and not our spiritual life. Because such people are blind for the signs of Atma Tattva. I have no interest in Atma Tattva. They have no. Therefore, in the next verse, Dehapatra Kalatra Adishu, Atma Sainishu. He says that actually the Pramatta, the illusioned or intoxicated living entity in the bodily human form of life, He considers himself a product of the matter. He thinks, I'm this body, Atma. Atma in this connection means body. And then, what is the verse? Deha Patra. Deha means the body. Deha. And the living entity who is embodied in the deha, as Prabhupada also uses, is dehi. Dehi nusmim yata dehe. The dehi, the living entity, in this story, Puranjana, the embodied living entity encaged in the different species of life is a Puranjana. He is a dehi, and he lives in a certain body. And ultimately comes to the human body, and he thinks, I have to protect this body by all means. The beauty, the health, the riches, fortune, my family, I have to maintain it and expand it. And so indeed, therefore, indeed, he works very hard day and night for maintaining the body, the deha. Deha, patra, apatra. Apatra means children. Right? Children. So, deha, because if you have a good body in human form, actually even the animals, the next thing is I need a wife. Kalatra. Kala. Kalatra. It means wife. Deha, apatra, kala, kalatra, adishu, and so on. So, because human As a single person, we cannot enjoy unless you are Atmarama, satisfied in yourself. We cannot enjoy. So we need partner. We need wife, and children, grandchildren, hopefully later on, nephews, big dynasty, so many friends, and nice relationships, nice connections. Because nowadays, if you have no connection in certain places in society, in the world, in certain countries, actually everywhere, you cannot achieve anything, you cannot attain anything. You will stay a pauper, a very poor, miserable person on the street. So it's all relationship. And that starts with wife, then children, bank balance, nice health insurance, nice this, nice that, car. That's also extension of the body, right? Then house, of course. House. then so many technologies what gives comfort to the body nowadays. We all know. So this is all the desire by the living entity. And because the living entity has so many desires, he wants to increase it more and more. He's never happy. He wants to get more and more and more and more and more. And so in this way he becomes more and more mad with the crazy desire. I'm the enjoyer. I'm the Purusha. And he forgets his eternal position, that I'm a servant, actually a servant. Of the servant of the servant of Krishna. That's stated in Chaitanya Charitamrita. The verse, Krishna, Puli is a chief, Anadya Bahya Mukha, Atta Eva Maya Taradaya Samsara Dukha. So very nice verse describing that the soul who is turning himself away from Krishna, turning the back against Krishna, lives automatically in the shadow of Maya. And when this happened, it's Anadir. Long, actually, since time immemorial back, that the soul actually is in contact with the Prakriti, with the material nature, with Maya. Maya Tara Daya Samsara Daya Samsara Dukkha. And what actually means when we forget Krishna is that we come in contact with Maya, with darkness, with the shadow energy of the Lord. Actually, Maya is not so bad. She's also energy of the Lord, but she has a thankless job. Like a police. Policeman or police lady. No? They have thankless job. They have to give you bills if you drive too fast or if you do something crazy. No? So it's their duty. So Maya has duty. So her duty is to keep everyone who is not sincere conditioned in her energy. In the chaya, in her material energy, covering energy. Actually, Prabhupada also, I think it's in third canto, in the teaching of Kapila Dev, it describes that the consciousness of, or development of consciousness is like the budding, or how to say, the blossoming of a flower. It has five stages. The first two stages are completely covered, shrinked, like a bud. It's not manifested. There's no beauty of the flower. There's no fragrance of the flower. The color of the flower is not manifested. Nobody feels attracted just to the covering stage. And animal life, plant life, is actually the covering stages. But human life actually starts when the consciousness, from the bud-like stage, gradually it starts, the flower starts to blossom. And there are three stages, little blossomed, beginning stage, then practically fully blossomed, and then completely blossomed, flower. And that's the consciousness, when the flower is completely blossomed, all the fragrances, all the beauty, the color, everything is so much attractive. So that's the stage of the highest consciousness if we wake up to spiritual life. So on the material platform, practically on the covered stage, shrink stage of consciousness, if you only think about eating, sleeping, mating, defending, it's not different from animal life. That's stated also in the Hitu Upanishad, I think. Hitu Upadesh. So we can find this verse that everyone has to eat, sleep, mate, and defend, either in the animals or in the human species. But if a human being who attained this form after long time, it's very rare, so durlabham, it's very rarely attained, This human form of life, if he still only use it for the same tendency like the animals, then the Shastra says, then what's the use? If you have four legs or two legs, you're an animal. Two legs or four legs or six legs or eight or thousand legs. It's animal is animal. Because it has only an interesting instinct for eating, sleeping, mating and defending. So about the human form of life, he should use his to go above that. And for that, he needs good teacher, he needs guru, he needs acharya, good fortune. Krishna, Lord Chaitanya tells to Sanatana Goswami, Sanatana, Pramanda Pramite, Kone Bhagyavane Chief, Guru Krishna Prasade Bhai Bhakti Lata Beach. So the living entity is wandering through so many different species of life. But only if it is fortunate it comes in contact with guru who is sent by Krishna. Guru is always representative of Krishna. Either Krishna is sending him, or by his own choice, like Narad Muni, he is going and tries to make somebody fortunate. That's his mercy. So here in this very long story of in Srimad Bhagavatam, Narad Muni tells this Puranchana analogy. How a living entity who is embodied is searching after happiness, success, but is always unhappy because in all the species of life he meets so many suffering. So ultimately he comes to the Himalaya region, and on the Himalaya region on the direction south, Dakshina Desh, if you come more and more direction south, auspiciousness appeared. Especially he found there this beautiful city with very nice parks, very nice boundary walls, fortress for protection, very nice streets, very nice houses, very nice towers to see where there are enemies, who is coming to my house, so that I can protect myself and be aware that nobody will come and steal my property, what I hear, my good fortune, what I have achieved here. So he meets this place or this beautiful city, and he thinks, yeah, this is success, this is my dream, this was my desire. Ultimately, I find a place where I can protect myself. As animal, I can hardly protect myself because one animal is eating other one. Jiva jivasya jivanam. So it's the law of nature. So it's a very hard struggle. But in the human form of life, he thinks, so now I finally have the human body. It is with either a white skin or a black skin or a yellow skin. And have a very nice hairdress, a hairstyle. As a human being, people give very much importance to nice hairstyle, to according to different trends, different associations and societies, cultures. Everyone has a certain hairstyle. We are witnessing this in the last 50 years. The hairstyles in the West changed all the time, in so many different ways. You know, sometimes very crazy way, because they become more and more colorful, or half cut and half like a porcupine, like up like that, like somebody who is in ecstasy, standing hairs on end. And I think, this is beautiful, because also in 12th canto of Bhagavatam it is stated that in Kali Yuga, somebody is considered beautiful according to hairstyle. Therefore, nobody feels attracted to a Hare Krishna devotee, bald head, no hair. If they see a sannyasi or a brahmachari or a shaved head personality, they think, they become shocked. Materialists become shocked. They think, it's like dead. Somebody is like dead is appearing in front of me. Because people like beautiful black hair, nice hair. Even put oil in it so that it looks more shiny. Here in India we can see it is so beautiful. They cultivate this hairstyle very much. Because the hair is very important image of your body, of your career, of your life. And then also you need dress accordingly. Dressing yourself and have a house. The clothes makes the man. Inside doesn't matter, you know. Main thing it looks good outside. The image. So we're all working on our image to look somehow or other attractive and beautiful and successful. Doesn't matter what we actually have inside. That's our problem, you know. We always try to cultivate the external, but we don't cultivate the internal. Like Prabhupada used to say, we're cultivating a golden cave, but we forget to feed the bird inside. And that is the main thing. We forgot to cultivate the soul inside, the Atma, that what is eternal. And instead of cultivating the eternal, we cultivate that what is temporary. Of course, as long we have a material body, we have to maintain it. We have to take care for it properly. We should not loitering or deal with the body carelessly, neglected. One should take care, not too much, not too less. Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he gives very nice guidelines in Sri Bhakti Aloka. For Grihasthas and for Sannyasis, what is the proper behavior, how we should dress, how we should act, how much we can accumulate or take, and how much we should be renounced. So the question of renunciation is not that we give up everything, especially if you have something, better use it in Krishna service. This is Rupa Goswami's process. It was Prabhupada's process, to engage things favorable in Krishna service. And this is actually a real renunciation. So, Puranjana, finally he thought, I'm now very happy because now I have this fortress, nice city, houses, shelter. And so he wanted to maintain it and cultivate it very nicely. And the whole story will then describe how he will enjoy in this city, how he will use the different gates. Because the city has 9 gates. Actually, 5 gates look towards the east. They're facing east. What are the 5? 2 eyes, 2 nostrils, 1 mouth. That's facing east. Then we have the ear facing, the right ear facing the south. Then we have the left ear facing the north. So make 7. Then we have 2 other gates, the apana, down, who is facing the west. Rectum and genitals. They're facing the west. That's described by Narada Muni later on. Here to Prachinibharisa Maharaj, because he didn't understand the analogy. So Narada Muni had to clarify it to him, explain it to him. And actually these five gates facing to the east are most important, because they're very important for knowledge acquiring. Knowledge acquiring senses. Rectum and genital is not a knowledge acquiring sense. It's called the karma indriya, right? It's a sense for activity, recreation, activity, and so for the need of the body, like that, purification, get rid of the garbage, byproducts of the body. But actually these the senses, you know, for knowledge acquiring are very important. And the ears are very important. But now we want to speak, because this is the topic for later, now we speak about the gates towards the east, facing the east, the eyes. Here it's spoken, the eyes are like window. So we can, you can look in somebody's eyes and you see who the person is. You can immediately see, is he now dreaming, sleeping, night dreaming, or daydreaming? Is he intoxicated? Is he a lusty person? Is he an, greedy person? Or is he an enlightened person? Is he a devotee? You can see that by looking in the eye. The eye is actually the window to the soul. So, because the eyes is therefore a window. And the eye, with the eyes we can contemplate so many sense objects. We have free choice what we want to. And it's according to the modes of the nature, the three towers, gold, silver, iron, we become attracted to different forms, to different kinds of food, to different kinds of personalities and species of life, plants, animals, like that. And with the contemplation of the sense of the eye, we become attached. Jayate visheyam pungsham sangasthesha pachayate sangat sangchayate kama krodha pachayate. And so on. Up to completely covering again consciousness. So now we attain the human form of life, very rarely attained. So we use the senses given in the human form, because here in the human form they're fully developed. Not like an animal. Some animals, they have maybe good eyes, but they don't hear so nice. Some have maybe nice ears, they have not good, they don't see so good. But in human form, all the senses are fully developed. And therefore, in one sense, the best place to practice Krishna consciousness, for self-realization. But if we become victim of the senses, and the senses are dragging us in all different directions, then we are very poor. Then we are lost. Like you have five horses, you know, go mad, you know. Oh, goodbye, charioteer. You're finished, you know. So you need the senses to have under control. Tapo divyam putra kayena sattvam brahma saukhyam tvanantam. That's also Rishabhadev teaching to his sons. They were 5 years old sons, you know, 100 of them. He wanted to make them first class human beings. So he trained them, he gave them very nice teachings. That's actually one of my favorite chapters, this Rishabhadev Shiksha to his sons, you know. So wonderful how he tells. So he says, the first one, dear boys, of all living entities who have accepted material bodies in this world, one who has been awarded this human form should not work hard day or night simply for sense gratification, which is available even for dogs and hawks that eat stool. One should engage in penance and austerity to attain the divine position of devotional service. By such activity, one's heart is purified, and when one attains this position, he attains eternal blissful life, which is transcendental to material happiness, and which continues forever. This tapo divyam putraka yena sattvam shudyat yasma brahma saukhyam tvanantam. That is what we have to work for, the direction given here by Rishabhadev. He tells to his 100 sons, but it's also available for us to use actually the human life, not for sense gratification, but is available for the hawks and dogs, but use it to attain eternal happiness. Brahma Saukhyam, Brahma Sukhi. Material world, wherever you go, even in the best human form of life, even as a king, prince, princess, in a nice palace or kingdom, it means trouble, it means suffering. History shows, but we have forgotten. Therefore, the most wonderful thing, somebody asked, it was, I think, Yamaraj, he asked Yudhishthira Maharaj, what is the most wonderful thing what you have seen in your life? So what? Yudhishthira Maharaj replied, Ahani, Bhutani, Gacchanti Yajamalayam, Shesham stavaram ichanti vanamali kim acharya atakparam. Kim acharya atakparam. So he told, ahani hani bhutani, the most wonderful thing I've seen is I have seen and I heard from telling and from history, from the history books, about my ancestors, about so many people who lived on this planet. But now they're not here with us anymore. Today they're not here. But still, I think I have to maintain this body and that actually I will never die. That I will always stay as long as possible, or even if possible, eternally in this body, material body. And this is the most wonderful thing I have seen in my life. Kim acharya. That's the most amazing. Kim acharya atakparam. Or else Shukadev Goswami. Nuna, where he says, Dehapatra kalatradishu atmasainishu asatsu api tesham pramata nidhanam paschanapi na paschati. They have sufficient experience of material life, that it is suffering, that it is temporary. But still, because pramata, mad, or attached for sense gratification, they forget. They go fully in this enjoyment. But thanks to the association of devotee, our consciousness can become uplifted, if we surrender to it. It can become uplifted, become purified, and the devotee can link us with Krishna. Like Lord Chaitanya told to Sanatana Goswami, the living entity who is mudha, who is murkha, foolish. The foolish living entity in the intoxicated in the material body of a human body, he cannot uplift himself from his miserable condition. Therefore, Krishna in the form of Lord Vyasadev, Sri Vyasadev, he compiled Vedic literatures, Srimad Bhagavatam. These Vedic literatures, the entire knowledge, to uplift them, to take them out of the stool, wash the worm of the stool, and put it in a piece of Mahahalava. It's the duty of the acharya. Therefore his joy, this is his happiness. He does this as a seva, a service to his spiritual master, and he wants to help the living entities in this way to reconnect themselves with the Supreme Lord, and not wasting our time in contemplating sense objects and in through the eyes or through the mouth tasting palatable food just to enjoy and to fill up our belly. There's so many food, taste of food, also according to modes of material nature. So the living entity also uses this gate in form of eating and in speaking nonsense and about material subject matters, also for wasting the time. And the two nostrils, it's also important, the two nostrils with smell. We can either smell a person, or that he's a friend, or that we don't want to have anything to do with that person. That's also done by smell. We can feel it. Or you can, by your smell, you can smell, if the food what you eat today you should eat or not. Therefore, the eating starts with the smell, not with the tongue. The smell, in the kitchen, as soon prasadam is available. Immediately, something starts. The appetite is coming. Breakfast now. Lunch now. So much nice feeling. Even a book you can smell. You know that? Even a book. A book smells very nice. Then you should read it. If it doesn't smell nicely, better keep it away. Book should smell nicely. Many people like this, you bought the books previously, they bought the book, they smelled on it, and they, it smells so nice for incense.
because we have burning so many offering incense in our Sankirtan van, and all the books practically became incensized. They got all these smells, and all the people were smelling it. Oh, it's so nice, I will buy it. Oh, they see the beautiful picture. They're touching the book, they're smelling the book. In case you don't have a book allergy, you know, dust allergy from the book. Otherwise, better don't put the nose too much in the smell. Otherwise, but anyway, we can use all our senses, instead of material entanglement, for purification of ourselves. And that is the hard job, that we're cooperating with the mercy of the Spiritual Master, with his instructions, with his guidelines. And the best way how we can actually pay him back is if we become, show him, I'm sincere, I take shelter in this process, in your instruction, and become purified and develop even a taste in this process of Krishna consciousness, and ultimately an attachment to Krishna, and ultimately going back home, back to Krishna. And that is how we can repay our debt to the Spiritual Master who came to this world. If we use the best facility of this body and this instruction and use it for our own purification and Krishna consciousness, and if possible, make others around you happy. Therefore, it's very nice meditation. Instead that we always sadly walking around somewhere, only thinking about our own interest, think about at least one person today whom you can make happy by giving a book, by giving prasada, giving your association. We should not become dry or renunciates or jnanis. We should become alive and happy and ecstatic in Krishna consciousness, so that others are also infected. So this place, Vrindavan, and in general human form of life, gives us this wonderful opportunity to come to this platform of Brahma Saukhyam Dvanantam, eternal spiritual blissfulness in Krishna consciousness, you know. Not in merging in Brahman, but in eternal Krishna consciousness, happiness, and make others happy. You can only make others happy if you're happy yourself. Then we can give it to others. Then we can share it with others. So this is the wonderful process. It goes automatically, it goes very natural. So the living entity cannot save himself, only if we come in contact with pure devotee and with his knowledge given by him, we actually are saved. This is great mercy. Hare Krishna. Guru is the Prabhupada. So, any question maybe? At least one question, no? Was a boring question, a class, was no point in it, or too many points? Brahmacharis, you should have a question. Come, figure out one. Even a stupid one. Was everything clear? Okay, here. Yeah. You're still a young boy, you know, so life will teach it to you. So you're hardly grown up now from your mother's care, you know, and school, and come here to Vrindavan. So life will teach you how to see. You can only see it if you're awake yourself. You have to become awake. You know this stage of the flower? At least fourth stage. Third is still a little not so nice. The fourth, fifth is completely, it's Paramahamsa, you know, it's completely blossomed. He's He's connected with every living entity. Because he sees everywhere Krishna. Stavara Changamadeke, Nateke Taramurti. Savataho Niche is the Devasporti. So he sees Krishna everywhere. He's moving and unmoving. So it's life experience. And little sensitivity, you know. Because if you only think about yourself all the time, you cannot see it. And you only think about how I feel today, I'm happy today, I'm not so happy today, I'm hungry now, I'm this, I'm that, I have nicely singing in the 24-hour kirtan now, or not, I was not so nicely singing, or maybe others were singing, why not me? Always some mental, you know, the mind. And soon the mind machine is working all the time and drilling around, you know, like a machine. You cannot perceive anything, you become stupid. You close yourself, you know. Because there's too many things are going on in the mind machine. Like if you have too many programs going on in the computer at the same time. What happened after some crash? Fully blossomed. It means fully awareness of your identity as eternal spirit soul, your Swarup. You know who is Krishna and which form of Krishna you like to be and to worship or to serve and to associate, and which associates. This is fully revealed, you know. That means your Sambandha Abhideya Prayochana. You heard about this? This is all becomes clarified in this fully blossom stage. This is the fifth stage, the fifth stage. The fourth stage, you gradually become, you're practically now towards coming to the fourth stage, because there's five stages also of Maya. You heard maybe. Anamaya, Pranamaya, Jnanamaya, Vijnanamaya, and Anamaya. Vijnanamaya, and Anandamaya. Actually, the living entity, as long as we have the first four stages, it's not happy, because the living entity by nature is Anandamaya Abhyasat. Right? You heard about this, Vedanta Sutra. The living entity is by nature pleasure-seeking, looks after Ananda. But where you look after Ananda, in the world where is no Ananda, near Ananda. Near material world is near Ananda. So therefore we have to come to Lord Rishabhadev's instruction, in his first verse, to his sons, to the Ananda, if you want to relish the eternal blissful stage, you know, this Brahma Saukhyam Dvanantam. That word is eternal. So if you're only interested in eating, you know, this is Anamaya. And if you become aware of you that I'm existing, this is Pranamaya. I'm breathing, I'm existing, I'm alive. This is I'm moving. A plant can most properly is not. So it starts with an animal, or beginning stage of human life. You see, I'm becoming. I'm alive. I have many senses and opportunities with the time. So, and then you start, but how you use it, will just start, you use it for eating, you know, and work hard for this eating supply. So this is the first two, this is like animal stage. But then comes the Jnanamaya. You go to school, university, and you gradually develop some Gyan, some knowledge. But if you stick on the Gyan, you become blockaded there. And you think now, so I'm a very intelligent American or German or whatever. And you stick on the platform of Gyan, intellectual knowledge, in the libraries or from universities. Then you just become proud on your education, proud on knowledge, and you think, I'm now the Lord above everything, about everything, you know, because I have the knowledge. And we will become puffed up. But knowledge, what makes you puffed up, is ignorance. Therefore, we should never go for knowledge, we should go for vijnana, realization. Realized knowledge. Because the realized knowledge makes you humble. It makes you humble. If you only go into jnana, guaranteed you become proud and attached. I'm Bhakti Shastri, I'm Bhakti Vijnan, I'm in this and that Shastra, I'm expert now. You become proud if you don't go into realization, into the practice. Realization means the practice. To use this, that what I learned in practice. Therefore, my problem is always, I see so many devotees, they go through all these Shastra courses. But later on, they don't use this in application, in practice, and they forget everything. After some years, you forget everything. Therefore, the work only starts after the education. And actually, even during the education, you have to start to apply it. Otherwise, you forget. You forgot that what you learned at the beginning. Because we are not, computer, Kali Yuga, we have not so good memory that we can memorize everything. And it's also not needed. There's no need to memorize everything. Otherwise, you become just a person who becomes completely feelingless, you know, like a stone to everything. Only into jnana, everything, observing everything from platform of knowledge. We have to go through vijnana and ultimately to anandamaya, to the bliss. Because if the soul is not feeling any bliss and only jnana, then ultimately we fall down again to sense gratification. Therefore we have to be very careful that we don't become impersonalist and just in jnana and maybe in liberation, so that we actually apply the practical knowledge to relish something. Of course, it's also mercy, but it comes because the practice itself of Bhakti Yoga is practical. It's a tantra. Rupa Goswami gave us tantra. He gave us Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. So it's a tantra book. Tantra means practical guidelines for a sadhaka for spiritual practice. That's a tantra. So, we don't speak about Tama Tantra or Raja Tantra, also not even about Sattvika Tantra, we speak about Vishuddha Sattva Tantra. That's nectar of devotion. That's Vishuddha Sattva Tantra. Narad Muni's, what's it called? Narada Bhakti Sutra, Panchatantra. Narada Panchatantra is also a transcendental tantra. It's meant for only for Vaishnavas, not for the karmis, jnanis and yogis. The Vaishnavas, therefore, they're interested only either in Panchatantra, Pancharatra, or then even better, in Nectar of Devotion, Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, Rupa Goswami. He gave us everything there. It's the most wonderful book in the creation, because everything is there in this book. It gives you practical experience by applying what is there, you know, in your life. Not only the first half of it, the whole Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. You have to practice and to go to the goal. Otherwise, if you only practice the first half and then stop there, you will go down and become a karmi again. So we have to go to the blossoming stage, you know, and it comes natural. You don't have to work for it hard, you know. You just practice with and choose the proper association, smell the proper association, you know. With whom you should associate, you know, who inspires you in this direction and helps you. And then you can get so many experiences. And that experience, actually, in the time of death, will not forget, that you will take with you. Jnana will not take with you ultimately, because you forget in the time of death. If you just take the Jnana with you. No, not good. Vijnana and the Ananda, this purity of the heart, this blissfulness, and relationship to Krishna. This is that what is eternal. This is what brings you back to Krishna. Then you are already there. And then when you become all gradually awakened from the coverings, just for your interest, either on sensual or in jnana, mental platform, then you feel more interested in others, helping others. See, all the others around you are also devotees. Sometimes we are so much concerned about ourselves as to be a devotee, or become a devotee, or even be a devotee now, that we don't see others anymore. This is Kanishta. But we are not here just to think about our own nose, our own forehead, our different towers, you know, and windows, and holes, and gates, you know. You have to use them, you know, for association with devotees, to exchange, to share affection, priti lakshana, not in challenges or competition, you know, dry competition. Who is better? Who is the best one? That's useless. Because if you are satisfied in Krishna consciousness, you are satisfied everywhere in any circumstances. And you are so happy, you know, to be here in the association of devotees, that you are here in Vrindavan, that you can chant Hare Krishna, that you can hear Bhagavatam, that you see beautiful deities here in Vrindavan, who are not just deities, they're here, you know, sakshat, manifested, you know. So anyway, I don't want to make too long. Hare Krishna, Prabhupada.